Let's pick it back up in verse 9. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now I want you to remember this, because I want you to follow the flow then of the text, because we're going to be looking at some things. Look in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Think about that, guys. We grow up out of wanting to play video games. Okay? I've had a computer in front of me since I was 16 years old, playing computer games. Okay? Playing, even when I got married, played computer games. I remember when Castle Wolfenstein came out. Anybody ever play that one? Okay. And I was playing this game like 1 o'clock in the morning. After a few years, I just don't play hardly any video games anymore. I just don't do it. Maybe solitaire every now and then when I'm real bored or something. But as far as just playing video games on iPads or computers or Xboxes, I just don't care to anymore. Amen? Okay? At some point we grow up and all the things of our childhood are gone away. So I want you to think of this. When you're a child, you speak as a child. And sometimes children at a very young age, very difficult to understand. Shoot. Sometimes teenagers are difficult to understand. They don't talk right. But then we grow up and we talk normal. So I want you to think about that. I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. People ask me, what do you think? Do you think we'll know other people in heaven? Oh yeah, we'll have perfect knowledge in heaven. We will have perfect knowledge of everything in heaven. There will be no mysteries. There will be no questions to us. Everything we will know, even as we are known right now. And right now, God knows the very number of the hairs on your head, the Bible says. He knows everything, and so we will know everything. But I want you to see, In the flow of this passage, I want you to see that there is something that is partial and then something that is complete. Let's go back over it again. Prophecies, partial. They're going to fail because they're going to be fulfilled. Tongues, partial. They're going to cease. Won't need them anymore. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. Know in part, prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see the change over here. And then now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And so I want you to get that idea in your mind that with God and in God's plan, there is always a partial and then a full. Does everybody comprehend that? Okay? Let me give you an example. Here in your Bible. This is my Bible. Okay? Right? If I were to rightly divide the scriptures, it's actually easy because they already are. Here is the Old Testament, and it's incomplete. It's partial. Here is the New Testament. It is complete. Because Jesus said here at the end, no more words. Revelation 22, we're not going to add anything to this book. We're not going to take anything away from it, but we're not going to add anything to this book. So we have a partial, and then we have a full. I want you to think about, take your Bible, turn to John 3. John 3. What's in John 3? Anybody know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to look at John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see this. So watch this. And Nicodemus is in his flesh with his law understanding. And Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He knew the law. He was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the 70. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Because we're not born again into flesh. We're born again into spirit. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he says, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. The flesh is partial, temporary. That's what the word tabernacle means. Back before taverns became beer halls, you go back 200 years ago and beyond that, the word tavern was a place that as travelers were going down the road and it became dark, they looked for a tavern. They looked for a place where they could get an evening meal, something to drink, and a bed to sleep on, because nobody liked to travel at night because that's when the thieves were out. Then they would get up the next morning when it was daylight and be on their... So a tavern was a motel. And the word tavern and tabernacle are related because they both mean temporary. It's not permanent. The wilderness tabernacle was not the permanent place of God. Why? It was always moving around. It was made out of badger skins. It was tents. Tents are meant to be picked up and moved around. And so if you follow the scriptures, you'll see the tabernacle giving way to the temple, a building that is in a fixed place that is not going to move anymore. Does everybody see that so far? So that's a picture to us. What's going to happen is this earthly tabernacle, that's what Paul called this body. He called it an earthly tabernacle. Here God is temporarily dwelling in us. What's going to happen to it? It's going to give way. It's going to be done away with. I don't need this flesh. Don't want to take it to heaven. Don't want a knapsack full of gold in heaven. It's going to give way to that which is perfect. Can I hear you say amen? Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to show you, this is a principle that God showed me several years ago, and it actually helps me in seeing the Bible the way that I do and so on. Let me just kind of give you this principle, and then we'll see it in Scripture. When God does something in its origin, it's good, but it's not perfect. When God does something the second time, it is both good and perfect. Let's go back to the idea of the body. This body is good. It's good enough to sustain for a while. Boy, my grandbaby's beautiful. My grandson's beautiful. He's adorable. And I'm just holding him in my arms and I'm going, God, you're good. But what do I know? That body's going to give way to something better one of these days. So that's the first birth, or like the first coming, and the spiritual part is the second part. In Exodus chapter 4, look at verse 6. This is the sign that God told Israel that to pay attention to. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. He put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. What does that mean? Though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as what? Snow. Leprosy is a picture of sin. A leprosy is a corruption in the flesh. That's what it is. It is flesh corruption. So, and the hand here, this is Christ. So follow the hand here. Watch my hand. I have nothing in my hand. So when Moses pulls the hand out of the bosom the first time, that's Christ's first coming. And when Christ came, because he came from the bosom of the Father, Jesus said that in the book of John. Jesus comes from the bosom of the Father, and he has sin all over him, not his own. Whose sin does he have on him? Ours. He got leprosy by contact, okay, from us. So it's leprous as snow. And he said in verse 7, put thine hand into thy bosom again. Why? Because when Jesus, after he had taken on the world's sins onto himself, the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, he goes back up to the bosom of the Father, the right hand of the Father. Okay? And behold, it was, and he said, and he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it turned again as his other flesh. Now, this is Christ's second coming. Now he's coming the second time without sin. Amen? Isn't that cool? Okay, so watch this. And it shall come to pass. He's talking about Israel. If they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So here, watch this. Bible said that Christ came in the fashion of the law. So his first coming, taking the sins of mankind on him, was in fulfillment of the Old Testament. That was the first sign. And the Jews didn't believe it. Still don't. And so Christ goes into heaven, back to the bosom of the Father. When he comes back, he'll not have sin on him. And God said they'll believe the latter sign. The latter sign is Christ in the New Testament coming at the end of time to fulfill God's promise to Israel. That's beautiful, ain't it? Somebody say amen. Take your Bible, turn to Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to this. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. What was it about Ruth that really spoke to Boaz? What was it that really got his attention? Ruth was more concerned about how it ends rather than how it starts. Amen? When people, and we have churches are full of this. People come down, they throw off a bunch of stuff at the altar and say, okay, I had my time. And then they go out living, in some cases, worse than they ever did. They're not concerned about the latter end. They're only concerned about the beginning. Let me give you this, okay? And you remember this one. Next time somebody comes at you with this nonsense, they say, the only real Bible, John, is in the original manuscripts. That was the only perfect Bible, in the original manuscripts. Does anybody know what museum the original manuscripts are in? You might know which museum they're in. They're not. They don't exist. The original, Jim, the original papyrus that Isaiah wrote his prophecies down on exists nowhere in the world. The original scroll that Paul had Galatians written on, where at the end he took and wrote his own name. See with what large letter I write with my own hand. That piece of paper exists nowhere on the earth. Can't find it. The latest book we have in the Bible is Revelation. Somewhere around 80, 90, 93, 96, somewhere around in there. Back in the 90s. John writes it down. Jesus tells him, John, write everything down. He wrote everything down. You know where it is? It's gone. Vanished away. So when they tell you that we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and perfect, infallible in the original manuscripts, their dirty little secret is we believe in a Bible, a perfect Bible that does not exist anywhere on the earth. That's what they believe in. And so follow their thinking, Jason. Follow along. They say the Bible was perfect at its inception, at its genesis, its beginning. As Paul is writing down, they sound real spiritual. We believe that was the inspired, inerrant word of God as he wrote it down. And then follow this. But over time, and especially now, it's gotten worse. That's not what we see here, is it? We see that it starts out good, but not quite perfect. Then it comes, now it's perfect. You say, what, you didn't believe the Bible was perfect when it was written? I didn't say that. But look at what we have. What we're holding in our hand right now was not the result of any one of the Bible writers sitting down, starting from Genesis and working through Revelation, and then stopping. Some of it came. Job lived around the time of Abraham. That's probably the oldest book written from our Bible. And then Moses comes after that, writes the Pentateuch. And then you have the David, the writings of Solomon. You have Ezra, the faithful scribe, who is compiling everything together. You have the prophets and so on. But it comes over time. Little here a little, and then there a little. And then we have the gospel writers and the letters of Paul and Jude. And then John, finally, the book of Revelation, finally caps it off and finishes it and says, now it's done. Jesus himself said, now it's done. But it was as it was written, it was perfect. But you see, now we don't have to wait another 400 years for God to give us something more out of the Bible, do we? You can grab your Bible and read anything at any time, even when you wake up at 4 in the morning. Amen? Get your Bible out and start reading it. There it is. So what they're trying to tell you is that we believe God starts good, but he ends off bad. That's not God's plan. Let me show you this. Turn to John chapter 2. I'll show you that this is not how God works. How God works is he starts good and finishes perfect. That's how God works. John chapter 2. Does anybody know what is in John 2? You're going to know here in a little bit. It's the marriage supper of Cana. Okay? John chapter 2, verse 9. When the ruler of the feast, Jesus had taken the water, the 6 pots of water, and he turned it into wine. When the ruler, verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and then when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. Did you see that? Man's way is to start out good, and then it just goes downhill from there. Amen? Okay? That's man's way. That's because everything, because we're subject to vanity, everything in this earth corrupts. Everything in this world corrupts. Starts out good. New car! Get that new car smell, Jim? Like that? Okay? Lasts how long? You see, the problem with new car smell is that dirty people get in and stink it up. Amen? Okay? Oils on our skin are left behind, and they stink. You don't believe that? Just when a little kid comes in from outside, smell like dog. And he said, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. Christ is different. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Because what Christ had made was better than what was originally served. So it doesn't make sense how we have this amazing contract called the New Covenant between us and God. Where God says, if you'll believe on me, believe in me, believe what I said, I'll give you eternal life. Whereby the old contract, the old covenant said, if you do every minuscule thing that I say to do without fail one time, I'll give you life. Why would people want to go back to the old covenant for salvation when we know for a fact it didn't save anybody? It didn't work. And to this day, it still doesn't work. Amen? You say, well, what, don't you believe in keeping, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I think you ought not lie. I think when God chastens you as a son of His, He chastens you because of what? You lied. You lusted. You dishonored Him and His law. That's what God gets you for. But His covenant for eternal life is not based upon what you did or did not do. It is based upon what you believed. Because the second covenant is better than the first covenant. Wouldn't you agree? Second is, there's a place in Hebrews. I don't have this in my notes. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse, let's pick it up in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, in sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Did you see that? So if anybody, Gary, if anybody calls and says that the Jews were saved in the Old Testament by sacrifices, quote Hebrews 10:6. God said he had no pleasure in those sacrifices. But if you read Isaiah 53, you know what pleased God? You know what Isaiah 53 says pleased God? It pleased God to bruise him. What is it that pleases God? The sacrifice of his son on the cross. That's the only thing that pleases God. And so, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Look at verse 9 now. This is the point I'm making. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The new covenant is not the renewed old covenant. That is what the Hebrew roots and a lot of these messianics are preaching. It is not the renewed Old Testament. It is not, okay, God saves you as long as you keep the Torah, as long as you keep the law in the Old Testament. That is not what it is. When you sign, who in here signed a contract for working somewhere? Who in here has ever had to sign a contract to work someplace? A union contract, right? So ABF offers your union a new contract. You guys vote on it. You approve the contract. You're now under the terms of that contract. ABF cannot go back to the old contract and say, we like these terms better. They tried it. Okay. There's a guy that follows our ministry. He used to be an arbitrator between businesses and unions. And he said both sides. He said, Mike, you wouldn't believe the stuff that both sides would try to pull. He said, it was my job to know what that contract said. They had to go by the contract. And I'm telling you people, number one, God is not going back to the old contract. Because it's done away. It's nullified. God is going to abide by the terms of the new contract, the new covenant. The first was good. Because Paul said it had glory. Because when Moses comes down with it, his face is shining like the sun. How much more glorious is this covenant? Amen? Now, let me turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and I'll show you something. And while you're turning there, and I'm going to say this quickly because I know the bell rang. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. So in the new heaven and the new earth can only come when the first heaven and the first earth are passed. They use the word passed away. How do we describe somebody that died? They passed away. So listen to this. You cannot have eternal life until what happens? Until this passes away. Then you're going to get eternal life. You know what's being worked on right now? And I read an article this morning about how they're working on a way. You know how they have, you know how they print things on paper, like inkjets and laser printers, things like that. And now they have these what they call 3D printers. You put an object into the specs of an object into the computer, and this specialized printer. And these things are only now about $1,000, and you say, well, that's a lot of money. But I'm telling you, as far as manufacturing is concerned, that is a ridiculously small price. They now have the ability, they put the specs into a computer, and this printer prints it out. 3D object, plastic, composite, things like that. You can make cups, you can make anything you want to. They're also doing the same thing with human organs. They're printing hearts out of cells. Now, the article I read this morning is, let's learn how to print DNA. Let's see what we can do with it. Let's see what new life we can get out of this. And I'm telling you, I've seen every zombie movie. I've seen every movie that deals with what happens when you mess with DNA. And none of them turned out good. We are on the verge in this world of mankind setting a situation where his flesh does not die. You say, I don't know if I believe that. In Revelation 9, when the fifth trumpet sounds, these scorpions come out of the earth and they sting everybody. And for 5 months, nobody on the earth dies. You say, well, that's not a long time. There are people all over the world right now dying right now. There's another one. There's about 20 more. All over the earth for 5 months, no one dies. That's insane. Okay, but you know what? Here's the kicker. During those 5 months, everybody wants to die, and they can't. Wow. So the old has to pass away. Then you have the new. That is always God's way. So I have, and probably I didn't have really time to get into this. Next week I'll kind of lead that into this book that I have and why I believe it's perfect. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, look what it says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. What does it say there? The latter end is worse than the beginning. You believe the Bible? You should. The latter end is worse. See, that's what happened when man does it. That's what the ruler of the feast said about the wine. Every man, when he sets forth good wine first, and then when they've drunk all that, get that out. Get that old junk out. Get that Mogan David stuff out. But he said, you kept the good wine till now. And right here is man's way. Because we've seen, Sister Bernice, Sister June, we've seen people come in, come down, and walk out. And see, before a guy starts coming to church, he knows he needs to come to church. Then he comes in here, does this little thing, and then stays with it for a year or two, and then leaves. And then what's happened to him? I'll never darken the door of another church as long as I live. The latter end is worse than the beginning. You know how many people we have running around in this country who were raised in church and have a very bad idea of church, and you go to invite them, and what are they going to tell you, Kay? I'll never go to another church as long as I live. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And this is what the scholars are trying to tell you about your Bible. That it's actually, the Bible we have now is worse than the originals. That's not true. It's not God's way.